This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome back to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become the start of a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you so much. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. But before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Heston's Beds in Los Angeles. Heston's has always been driven by a passion for sleep and the many benefits it brings for the body and soul. Sleep on a Heston's bed is sleep that makes a difference in the quality of your life. Sleep that allows you to function at your optimal best, a natural process that cannot be replicated, bought over a counter, or swallowed in a pill. A Heston's bed is defined by its comfort and support, breathability, and the ability to regulate your body's temperature while you sleep. While many beds contain a variety of chemicals, glues, latexes, and foam, Heston's beds are handcrafted with exclusively all-natural materials to create the perfect night's sleep. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep, and Heston's can help you. Check them out at HestonsLA.com. Today's guest is an American-born executive producer, Rocky Romano, an action sports athlete turned multiple award-winning writer, producer, and director with over 20 short films, 5 feature films, and 130 episodes of television to his credit. His work focuses on the motivations and boundaries of the human spirit and expands from the inner cities of Oakland, California, Turf Unity, to the massive waves of Nazaré, Portugal in Red Chargers. Rocky has the unique ability to provide audiences with a behind-the-scenes look at some of the most tight-knit and seldom-seen communities on the planet. In 2017, Rocky founded the Go Big Project, one of the top adventure extreme film production companies on the planet. Currently, he and his creative partner Miranda Winters own Winters Rock Entertainment, a film and television company based out of Los Angeles, California. Welcome, Rocky.
Thank you.
So let's cut to the chase. You're really good at what you do, but who are you as a person?
Oh, that's a complicated question.
Yeah.
You probably get a lot of different answers from a lot of different people. But how I view myself as a person, I'm really a storyteller. It's, you know, completely my passion. It's pretty much my obsession as well. So I consider myself a storyteller. Sometimes it got me in trouble when I was younger.
Yeah, let's talk about you being young, and because we want to share your journey and what made you want to tell stories and inspire people with your movies. But talk about us. Where did you grow up, and how was your childhood?
Well, I was born in Salem, Massachusetts. I'm a warlock, where they had the witches and warlocks. But I moved to Southern California when I was 2 years old. So really, I'm from Southern California. I grew up in Orange County for the majority of my life, and then ended up traveling all over the world, working all over the world, all kinds of stuff. But I first started telling stories to get out of trouble, is how I started telling stories. And that usually ended up getting me in more trouble. I think my mom would attest to that. So,
yeah. So growing up in Orange County, did you do, I know you were an action sports athlete. So what kind of sports did you do as a kid?
Well, I grew up playing swimming, water polo, surfing. Played water polo really seriously for quite some time. But I didn't really get into action sports per se. You know, I skateboarded to go surfing, but I didn't really get into action sports until I had sort of broken away from society and moved up to Lake Tahoe. And that's where I really found my love and my passion for action sports.
So when you're talking about broke away from the society, what does that represent?
Well, I had taken a a job after school as a assistant construction project manager in Oakland, California. And the management firm that I worked for was in charge of rebuilding inner city housing in the worst parts of Oakland. And so we were out by the Oakland Coliseum, and I was an assistant project manager on about an $18 million project. And I did that for several years. I'd commute from San Francisco to Oakland every day, and it was a really, really stressful job. We were in charge of 16 divisions of construction and, you know, rebuilding what was 1941 military housing that had been converted into low-income housing, and it stayed as low-income housing for that entire time until mid-90s when we actually went in there and retrofitted everything. So you can imagine, I mean, it was buildings from the 30s and 40s that were the inner city housing of Oakland. But that was an interesting job because what happened, the project manager on the job ended up getting let go for various reasons. And because I was the only one that knew everything about the job, I was like, I think I was 23, and they promoted me to project manager. And then all of a sudden I was 23 in charge of a $18 million construction project. So you can only imagine the sort of stress that someone would be under with that. And I did that for about 3 years. And then I just thought to myself, you know, what do you really want to do with this life? And, you know, I'd always wanted to live an adventurous life. I'd been a Boy Scout and always went backpacking and loved, you know, the outdoors, and I took wilderness survival courses, and I never really thought I was going to end up in a corporate career. So at 26, I left my high paying career and bought a cabin up on Donner Summit in Lake Tahoe and began my action sports career.
Wow. So I think a lot of people can relate to that, maybe listening right now, or maybe they've done that journey, but being in a high paid position and then just, I'm fed up with this, I can't do this anymore, it's not so easy to just do that, right?
No, not at all. You really have to decide what you really want to do and then just have the courage to be able to pursue that path. And perhaps a little bit of craziness sometimes, that can help as well. But I really think it's about courage. I think we're all scared of things. And I think that, you know, we're all scared to perhaps believe in ourselves in order to make, you know, that break away from, you know, being a cog in the wheel. And it takes courage to do that. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, courage is something you're born with, but, you know, it can also be taught, you know, through practice. So, and commitment within yourself, you know, is important. That can give you courage as well.
Can you recall what moment made you really take that decision? Was it some special moment, or was it like a series of incidents or months of thinking? Or,
you know, it was, I think that, you know, I started off, you know, in a very altruistic way working in rebuilding inner city housing, and I wanted to, you know, change the world and make it a better place. And as I got deeper and deeper into it, you know, I saw so many things that were, you know, morally and ethically suspect in the construction business and what was going on, and some of the people that were being taken advantage of, and some of the things that needed to happen in order to make the job successful were outweighing, you know, what I really believed in and what I was trying to accomplish. So for me, you know, I think it was just a wake-up call of how a lot of the world is, and I just didn't want to be in that kind of world, so I went off to create my own.
Yeah, you didn't want to contribute to that, and that just as you said, it takes courage. There you are, living in a cabin. We're in Lake Tahoe, 26 years old. So, what are you doing there?
Yeah, I was asking myself the same thing. I got a cabin on Donner Summit, and I don't know if you know where Donner Summit is in Lake Tahoe, but it's where the Donner Party, which is the famous pioneers that were crossing across the United States, and they got to the, you know, to Reno, and they were warned by the local Indians not to try to cross over the Sierras before winter, but they decided to press on, and they ended up getting caught in a really bad storm on Donner Summit, and they ended up eating each other. And it's a famous American story, the Donner Party and the survival of the Donner Party. So I actually moved to a very infamous, place, really desolate, above Lake Tahoe, really high part. And I moved to a place called Ski Town, where my cabin was about 300 yards in off the road. So, you just had to walk into the cabin, and during the winter, there was a huge, 20-foot wall of snow that you had to carve out steps and climb up from the road, and then you had to walk on your packed path, and, if you had been drinking it all and fell off your path, you'd fall into like 6 feet of powder and, swear you'd end up dead one day. But really, I got up there, and the community up there really embraced me. I was kind of like, the corporate guy that cut off his tie and just, was following the dream. So I met a bunch of really cool cats, and they took me snowboarding for the first time. And I had, I'd grown up surfing and skating. So they hiked me up the mountain because the resort wasn't open yet. And we went, backcountry snowboarding, and it was great. I was like instantly really good at it, because it was a lot like riding a wave, and there wasn't ice, it was just all powder. And we did that, and I did that like every day with these guys. And then when the resort opened, Sugar Bowl Ski Resort opened, I was good enough that I could be an instructor. So I got a job as an instructor, which is pretty hilarious. It's kind of like a joke with instructors, like, how hard is it to be a snowboard instructor? It's like one lesson, okay. So I did that, and then I was like with like this gnarly crew of guys that were just, and girls that were just the gnarliest rippers, and the gnarliest big mountain riders. So I definitely had some really great mentors. And then summertime came along, and I was like, well, what do you guys do for summer? And it was whitewater rafting. So I went to the most extreme whitewater rafting school, and it was like 14 days of hell, and survived that, and then ended up becoming a whitewater raft guide, and spent 15 years as a big mountain snowboarder. I was in movies dropping huge cliffs, and ended up owning a rafting company and working all over the world as a class 5 whitewater raft guide. So
wow. So just sitting here with you, which I really love your work, and just to talk with, this is like, it makes me feel alive. But I had to take that small leap of faith, even though this is just the beginning, just like you said, small wins, right?
Yeah, small wins. I mean, you've got to teach yourself how to break away from the matrix. everything that you've ever been taught, everything you've ever been told is to stand in line, raise your hand, wipe your ass this way, do it this way. This is how you're going to get a job. You got to go to school, get your student loan, be in debt. Go work for the man. It's like, it's so built into us. Everything from, the advertising that we see to everything around you is really set up, for it to be easy for us to continue, just not having that courage to break away. And so you have to really train your brain, to try to break away from that, years of training that is just, around us subconsciously all the time.
What do you think is the biggest lie that we've been told?
Well, I think that I don't think that we let people know what they're capable of actually achieving. I think the biggest lie is that we're only capable of a certain level. And I think that's the first thing that people need to get past is, don't set levels, shoot for the stars. Whatever your passion is, whatever you want to do, really don't ever imagine anything except for like the very best result you could ever hope for.
So why do you think you have so high standards on yourself? Because I've seen you work, and it's funny to see you interact with your director of photography. You guys are really nice to each other. You have that like vibe. This is like, when I saw that, I love that, because this is, every little detail is important, and you can only see that with people that really search for excellence. So why is it so important to you to have these high standards?
I can't imagine why you wouldn't have those high standards. You know, I think that's what people need to start asking themselves. You know, why doesn't everybody have those kind of high standards? I mean, you know, we get one chance, you know, around this planet, and I mean, you really need to create your own world, and having those kind of high standards and paying attention to detail, it's just going to make everything, you know, everything that you ever want is going to be closer, you know, to being able for you to achieve. You know, if you really pay attention to the details, when I give, you know, advice to producers, you know, when they go out into the field, you know, I tell them, don't cut corners, you know, don't, you know, respect the craft, you know, respect the story, because it's incredibly important to make sure that you don't do something lazy and just shoot an interview with a really bad backdrop because you didn't take the time, you know, to find a really attractive backdrop. And it's really a disservice. It's a disservice to the people that, you know, the person that you're interviewing, you know, to the crew, to the film, you know, to the craft of storytelling itself. And, you know, once you start taking, you know, these sort of, you know, cutting corners or not paying attention to details, once you start taking them as seriously as that, then you really start seeing, you know, wow, these are as important as the biggest things that I could be looking at. These small things are just as important. There's a great speech from a retired Navy SEAL commander, and he gives a speech about the importance, the most important thing that he learned in boot camp was making his bed. And, you know, and people say, what, you know, why is making your bed, you know, the most important thing? And he talks about how, you know, making his bed every day gives you a sense of accomplishment before you even start. You know, if you have a bad day and you come back and you have a made bed, well, it's a little bit better, you know, and it's these little things that can help give you that confidence to be able to do, you know, the things that you really want to do. So start paying attention to the little things.
I love that. And I love, like, I remember when we did the, for Liam, the book, Marcus' book, and you guys were helping us out to do a short little trailer. And we decided to meet at 6 a.m. And right then I knew, wow, these guys are crazy, you know, to have that, to just set an appointment at 6 a.m. to meet and film something. That means there's no boundaries for what you guys can do. I really like that.
Yeah, no, we're pretty much 24/7, 365 days a year. You know, we've had, you know, a pretty hectic and incredible last couple of years with all the filming projects and travel and insanity. You know, we literally have crews that will get 24 hours notice to be ready to grab their Speedos and earmuffs and passport and head off to, you know, the middle of the ocean, you know, to chase the biggest waves in the world, hanging out of helicopters on jet skis in the water from cliffs. And they can literally be at the airport waiting to go film big waves and find out they're heading to China to go film wingsuiters in the Dashanbao Mountains. So we're a very flexible production company because we're so used to being able to get the call, make a move, and get anywhere in the world within 24 hours.
Yeah. No, I watched the Red Chargers, and seeing those guys, you know, want to chase those big waves, and the way you guys told their stories, it was just incredible. Where do you get that inspiration to tell stories in that way?
You know, I really love the human spirit and what it's capable of. You know, I think individuals that are capable of pushing the boundary of the human spirit, such as wingsuit pilots, big wave surfers, they have a lot of the same DNA and courage that it takes to be successful in any sort of platform or medium. And so I think there's that draw, you know, to that sort of that ability, that courage and that attention to detail. Obviously, if you're flying, you know, 5 feet from the ground at 100 miles an hour, you're very detail oriented. And I was always the one thing that I always found with action sports in the very beginning when I began was it was basically it was it was like ski porn, you know, it was montages to music and, you know, there, and everyone's, you know, everybody looks cool, but there's no story. And I grew up with, you know, the advent of ESPN. And I remember watching ESPN in the beginning. And I mean, it was like Australian rules football was pretty much the main thing on ESPN. But, you know, the evolution of ESPN and telling the stories of these mainstream sports and like NFL films and things like that, where they really, you know, dove into the athlete themselves and everything that they were going through as a human being. And I was like, why isn't this here for action sports? You know, it's just not there. You know, everyone's in their goggles and helmets. There's no story. So I really wanted to be a storyteller within action sports and these adventures, because I felt that they could be attractive to the mainstream if they were told the right way. And that was by, you know, attaching a real story, you know, to the guy who's on an 80-foot wave as a little speck. And that really became, you know, our passion for, you know, quite some time.
Rocky Romano, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you guys are busy, and it means a lot to me and all people listening from all over the world.
Thank you, Peter. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys for listening in. And again, a big thanks to our sponsor, Heston's Beds Los Angeles. Heston's will change the way you sleep forever with the finest beds, mattresses, and bedding accessories in the world. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep. Check them out at hestonsla.com. If you have any questions and comments, please email us at info@ilsuccess.com. And if you like this episode, share it with friends and family. That's how we grow, and that's how we can help more people. Have a wonderful day, and see you guys soon.